Let them change the hours.
Get our birthday. A good new year. Markatimatova that everybody has already had. And we'll start with the, today's daf is daf Chof Aleph. We'll start with the Mishnah on Chof Aleph Beis, and Saba Josh is raring to go after a wonderful Yom Kippur.
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
Ze Omer Zektav Yadi Vezektav Yadosho Chaverim. Ze Omer Zektav Yadi Vezektav Yadosho Chaverim. So we have two witnesses that come in. Each one testifies to the signature of themselves and to the other signatory who is on the document, which means that we end up having two witnesses to each signature. But in a case where each one identifies their own signature, ze omer zektav yadi, ze omer zektav yadi, tzrichim litzaref imahem acher, livre Rebbe. According to Rebbe, you cannot identify your own signature because that is an act of testimony. So by saying that this is my signature, that's all very nice. Where's the other one who says it's your signature? And according to the Chachamim, Chachamim omrim, einam tzrichim litzaref imahem acher, ela ne'eman adam lomar zektav yadi. There's no need to have two witnesses on each signature. A person is allowed to identify his own ktav yad. Now, what would be the logic of such a thing? Kishetimtze lomar, when you get to the bottom of the argument, what's happening over here is that according to Rebbe, identification of your signature is a direct testimony that this is your signature, nothing else. And therefore you need two people. Al ktav yadane meidi. Whereas according to the Chachamim, when you say it's your signature, you're basically standing behind your signature, which means that you are now testifying to what the contract says. Amana shebishtarei meidi. So therefore, you've got now two witnesses. Each one is saying, yep, that's my signature, all right. It's definitely the truth. So forget about your signature. Basically, we now have a shtar with two aiden that are right here in front of us that are being made on. And why would we need two people to identify each signature if the guy himself is here? She says, come on, I mean, that's rather obvious. I mean, pshita. There's no other mechanism whereby a single person is going to be believed to say this is my signature. Ah, but you see, what isn't so obvious, thank you, is that I might have thought that according to Rebbe, it's actually a suffix. In other words, Rebbe may be saying l'chumra. He may be saying, look, I don't know, but it's possible. By the way, when we... What? No. I don't know how it got on. It was probably left on earlier.
I think we walked in with it.
So it could be that Rebbe is being mocked. And Rebbe is saying, look, in the event that Lamaisa, the way to understand testimony on a signature is that it's not to the Monashe B'shtar, but it's on the signature itself, then we're going to need two. However, that's not to say that it isn't possible that there is a direct edus that a person can give to the mana and the shtar. What difference does it make? The difference that it makes is very important. If Rebbe is going l'chumra, in the case where you have one person who is alive here and he's being made to his signature, let's say that he's actually being made to the mana shebishtar, but Rebbe's not sure. So Rebbe's going to say, okay, get another guy to be with him. Okay, that's l'chumra, right? Now, the same guy can also identify the other fellow, but the other fellow isn't here. So now what we're going to do is we're going to be mitzaref, another guy with him, because he obviously can't take the other person's testimony, he can only take the other person's he can only testify to the other person's signature. But if that would be the case, then what's happening here is that 75% of the data is coming from one person. Since the Torah says al pi shnei edim yakum davar, it means that we have to split the information content between the edim. And since, according, if Rebbe would be misupak, we would now be getting 100% from one on one, plus 50% from the same one on the testimony to the signature. That's now, we've got basically 75% of the full information from one guy. You can't do that. So if Rebbe is absolutely certain that you're only going to be made on the signature, and by the way, Tosfos points out that it's nothing to do with your intent. It has to do with the mechanism. Even if the guy says, well, I don't want to talk about my signature. I want to talk about the Mana Shebishtar. We don't listen to Mana Shebishtar, according to Rebbe. You're only being made on your signature. So therefore, if Rebbe's absolutely certain about this, so in this case, it's a chumrah that it requires two people, but in the case where there's only one person who can identify both signatures, and he's being mitzuraf now with another guy, so then it's a kula, because according to the Chachamim, in that case, you wouldn't be able to be mitzarev his testimony with somebody else. You would need two other people to be made on the other person's signature in order to avoid the problem of the 75-25 breakup in the information. Okay? So therefore, although you're right, that if we knew that this is an absolute, it is pshita to understand that this is the argument. But Mao the Tamil Rebbe Svukim is Afkali, and he's only being Machmir. He's not sure whether Yaktav Yadam Me'idim or Manashabishtari Me'idim. And what's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is very simple. In a case where Echad Mitchad Minayu, one of them dies. So now that would mean we would need two people that are strangers here, Shnayim Minashuk, La'ilalav. And we cannot accept the surviving witness's testimony to the other guy's signature, because if you do, Deim Kain, Kanafik Nechiriva de Mamona Apumenechat Sahada, you'd be taking out 75%. Nechiriva means minus 1/4. In other words, easy way to say 75%. 3/4 is minus 1/4 of the entire information from one guy. And therefore, I have to be machmer over there. So I might have thought, v'achalachumra. Kamash malan, that in this case, Rebbe can be mekel. And Rebbe mifshep shitale, it's clear to him that the testimony is a testimony on the signature and not on the content. Bein lakula, bein lachumra. The Omer Rebbe Yeramarab, shnayim, hachatumim al ashtar, umet echad mehem, tzrichim shnayim min ashuk la'id alav. So here we have Rav Yudam Rav saying, if you have two people that are chatumim al ashtar, so then you're going to need two other people. But here, he says, but you should know that Bezu, Rebbe Lekula. In this case, Rebbe would actually be Lekula, the Rabbanan, and not the Chumrah. Okay, what do you do, according to the Rabbanan, if you don't have two people from the Shuk? Is there a way out of this problem? And this, of course, is Tosfos' raya, that it doesn't make a difference what the person's intent is, because if it would, then we have a simple solution. We tell the guy, look, don't tell us what's in the shtar, just tell us about your signature. Okay, but obviously that's not an option. All right. So then, what could we do? Omer Abaya, look, there's a simple thing to do. What you could do is, Lichtov Chatimat Yedei Achaspa, Vishari Leve Beidina, write your own signature on a piece of pottery. We'll see why a piece of pottery. But write it on a piece of pottery and send it into the Beit Din. Then the Beit Din can identify your signature based on a graphological analysis of that pottery. Now they don't need you to tell them about the signature. They now see that this is your signature. And then, Masikile Beidina, Velot Sarachiyu, Liyasidi Achatim Ed Yadei. So now he doesn't have to be made on his own Chatima, because the Bezdin manages that through the graphological analysis. Viyaziliyu Vahai Umasidat Idar. And this way, he is now free. We didn't get any information from him. So he is now free to be an aid on the other signature, together with the one other guy that we have. The Dafka Chaspa, now, this should only be done on pottery. Be very careful, never sign anything. A megilta lo, do not sign a contract or something that might be a contract when somebody else finds it and adds the rest of the contract in there. That would be a very bad idea.
From time
immemorial. You might find a person who's not of the highest caliber. And he can write whatever he wants, such as I owe you $500,000 or something. Vitznan, and the Mishnah says, Otsielav ktav yadoshu chayavlo. If you can bring an IOU in a person's own hand, so then, although it doesn't act as a registered shtar, so you can't use it to collect as a pre-existing lien if the person sold property, but if he has free property, you can use it to collect from. The reason you can't collect from property that's already sold is only a contract that has two witnesses is considered to be a registered transaction, because two witnesses generate a kol. So people will know about it, and that's basically the equivalent of nowadays you go, you check the title. The title would be checked through call, but if a person signed an IOU, how am I supposed to know when I bought the field that he had signed an IOU? So there you don't have a right to use such a contract to collect. Actually, we paskin like the Chachomim here, and you basically do not need two witnesses, but on the other hand, in the case where one of them died, you're going to end up with the need to be machmir. Says the Gemara, is that obvious? Pshita? Yachid v'rabi malacha k'rabi? Well, that's only where we don't have rules, you see. When it comes to Rebbe, we do have a rule. The rule is that alacha k'rabi michaveiro. Now, we might have thought that that rule extends the time to chaveirav. I mean, there's no, if you're telling me it's a standard psak that we always go with the rabbim, that's fine. But with Rebbe, it's clearly not a standard psak, because we have a standing halacha like Rebbe, at least if it's from Rebbe against another individual. So that might mean already he's not part of the standards. And there are times where we might paskin like him, kineged a rabbim. So ma'adatei malach Rebbe chaveiro, and afilu michaveirav. Gamash malam, that no matter what, in this case, the halach is certainly not like it. Simen nachna, nach, no, whoops, whoops. That's as close as we get.
It's one Jewish story.
There you go.
It's
a kippa. Yeah, it's a kippa.
Just mentioned that some of the most fascinating archaeological finds are writings on Ostrakhan. Some people have thought of it.
I thought you were going to tell me they found a nach and kippa. That would be it. Then I surrender.
We found ksuvas. Ksuvas written on pottery. What? Ksuvas written on pottery.
Well, it wasn't always paper.
See why? They were advised not to write anything on paper.
Okay, so this simen, this nach, not chad simen, we might want to try marketing our own yarmulkes there. See if we can do better. This is chanana achia, mem mechet, and the nod is the next one where you had huna bar Yehuda instead of na bar chia, so you got a nod, and the chad would be chia, huda. Okay, anyway, so it was either Reb Chanina bar Chia to Reb Yehuda, or some say it was Reb Huna bar Yehuda to Reb Yehuda, it was Reb Chia bar Yehuda to Reb Yehuda. And, anyway, what he said was, whoever it was. Now, mi omar Shmuel hachi, you're telling me that Shmuel said that we paskin like the Chachami. But we know that in an actual case, we know that Shmuel insisted on there being two people on each signature. Because there was actually, there was an actual shtar that we have that had come out of his bezdin. Now the Kativ Bey, and it had the following henpik written on it, which was the certification, the shtar is good. And what it said was, is a strange language. It said, Midaata Rav Anan Barchia, the Asir Achitimot Yadei Va'adachad Ime. Because Rav Anan Barchia showed up in this court and testified on his own signature and to the signature of another person who was signed with him, reference being Umanu Rav Chanan Bar Rava, and whereas Midaata Rav Chanan Bar Rava, the other party, Rav Chanan Bar Rava, also showed up to this court and testified on his own Chatimat Yadei and on the Chatimat Yad of the other individual who was signed being Rav Anan Barchia. Because of that, Asheruni Vikimnui Kirakosim. We have therefore certified and been Mekayim the Shtar as it is prima facie. Now, how do you explain that? He obviously needed both of them to be made not only on their own signature but on the other signature, which is exactly word for word what Rebbe said in the Mishnah. And now you're quoting him, Rav Yudah's quoting from Shmuel, as saying, well, we passed like the Rabbanan, so what did he have to go to all of this tircha here? Such a complicated whereas. I mean, there's no whereas. Let's say we identified two people, the same people came in. Omar Lay said, well, Shmuel didn't need to do that. The thing is, though, that shtar was a shtar of the Yatmi. And because it was a shtar of Yatomim, Shmuel was very afraid that they would end up trying to collect in another Beit Din. And that Beit Din would be a Beit Din To'im. And they might hold the Sova Shmuel, Dilma Yikud Svirla, Locha Karebi Michave Rov, Velo Michave Rav, Ubahaf Yilu Michave Rav. And furthermore, so first of all, they may be Torah to think that the halacha is like Rebbe. Then they might be taught to think that even if they know in general the halacha is only like Rebbe Michave Rav and not Michave Rav, but in this case it would be Afila Michave Rav, because we've already said that he's no longer part of the norm. So maybe they would think that this is one of the exceptions. So what he wanted to do is Avid Revacha, I want to make this a contract that Yitomim will never have trouble with no matter where they go, even if there's some idiots are going to be now machmer on them. No good. So I'll do it this way so that even according to Rebbe it would be kosher. So Savir Avid Rivacha Kiechlo Mafside Yatmi. Omer Rav Yudah Omer Shmuel. Another psak Rav Yudah quoted from Shmuel is very interesting. Eid v'dayan mitstarfim. So that if you have over here somebody who apparently had a shtar mekuyam, and he tined that the signature of the court was mezuyam, so that the actual henpik of the court was not a real henpik. So if you have one of the witnesses and one of the dayanim that contradict that ziyuv claim, then they can be mitstarif together, and that's enough. Omar Rami Bar Choma, wow, Kama Ma'aya Hashemite says, brilliant. Amar Rav, oh, brilliant. What's so brilliant about it? It's actually stupid. Maide kamasi tzara, lo kamasi dayana, maide kamasi dayana, lo kamasi tzara. And he said, what's brilliant about it? It doesn't even make any sense. The witness is talking about the shtar, and the dayan is talking about the ishur of the shtar. So basically, you don't have two opinions about the same thing here. So how are you relying on it? Forget it, man. The truth is, when Rami Bar Yecheskel came, he said, look, you know, it's a sad thing. You can't trust a thing my brother says about Shmuel. Every time he quotes Shmuel, it's always wrong. So they pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And indeed, that was a misquote of Shmuel. It didn't make any sense. And it's interesting that Ikla Rav Noi Achud Rechia Bar Ava, the Mizbam Sumsimi, once Rav Noi came along, and he was in the Sesame business, V'yomar Hachi, and he said, I'll tell you what Shmuel said, Omar Shmuel, Eid v'dayan mitstarfim. Sounds very much like what Rav Yonah said. Omar Ameymar, so Ameymar was there now, Ameymar, this is already a third generation, three generations away from the first Maimer. Ameymar was a grandson of Rami Bar Choma, who had made the original comment that, wow, this is brilliant. So he also says, wow, this is brilliant. So Rav Ashi says to Ameymar, you know, Just because Mishum the Kosavu the Imach had Mami the Kosavai, what your maternal grandfather thought that this was brilliant, so therefore you gotta think it's brilliant. Rav already showed that it's not brilliant at all. Kvar Parcha Rava, so forget about it. Seems to run in the family, this tendency to brilliant. It's very cute. Nobody likes it. Amr of Safra, Amr of Abba, Amr of Yitzhak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, Amr of Una.
I think we identify with
those. I was about to say, probably identify with the family, so
it's going to be quite good. Shloshashi Yashvula Kayemet Ashtar. The Bezdin sits down in order to be Ma'asher Ashtar. It's called an Asharta. Yishur. Shnayim Mekirin Chatimot Yadei Ha'edim. So now two of the people of the Dayanim actually recognize personally these signatures. One of them does not recognize it. So achalochatmu me'idim efanav v'chotem. So before anybody signs the Ishur, they can be made in front of the one judge who doesn't know, and then he can add his signature and they sign together.
Right?
He's makabel their testimony as witnesses. Mishachatmu, however, once they already sign, the whole thing smells. And ein me'idim b'fanav v'chotev. Because the language of the Ishur says, b'motav tlata d'ishtamudana d'achatimat yada d'sahari, and so on. We were sitting as a Beit Din of three, and it was brought to our attention, and we identified the signature and so on. But that isn't true. They signed something that was a lie. Because at the time that they signed it they were not the Motav Tlata that it was Ishtamudah. And therefore, if he just adds now his signature, Le'achra Maisa, it's just further lies. So now it looks even more smelly. You know, they should never have signed before he also was brought in to the din by being testified in front of him that it is in fact the other guy's signature. Wait a minute. Oh, that's the only problem? That what? That they can't be chotein? Umi katvina? What? You're allowed to write it? The problem is that you can't sign it? I thought Amar of Papi Mishmeina Rava. I asharta the dayani the nichtav mikami the nichvesari achatimet yadaya psula. If they wrote the language of the asharata, which is ishur in Aramaic, of the dayanim before they had actually identified the chatima, figuring okay, you know, let's just get it ready to be signed. That's also no good. The mischazia keshikra looks like a lie. So if that's the case, there's two people that knew and not all three. It's still, even without the Khatima, the whole thing smells from the beginning. Okay. Ela'ema achelo katvu. You're right. Let's not say achelo katmu. Let's say achelo katvu. So then me'idim b'fanav v'chotem. Then they can be made and he could sign. But if it was already written, then they already messed up the shtar. Ein me'idim b'fanav v'chotem. By the way, it looks very simple on the surface, but there's something really very weird going on under the surface here. Because the fact is, we don't paskin like Rav Papi. The Gemara is docher Rav Papi elsewhere, and the Tosfos says we do find that a Gemara pretends to be interested in issue A when actually it's issue B. But to keep things simple, it looks like we're asking they shouldn't even have written it. Forget about being chotem. But the truth is, we don't believe that. There's no problem in you stamp something and it's not signed yet. It's going through the process. When you finish the process, they sign it and then it becomes legal. But there's nothing wrong with stamping it before it's signed. So he actually is wrong about that. The thing is, though, that there is another issue which Rav Papi would be right about. And that is that in a case where it looks as if they've already committed themselves, since two of the Dayanim know about it, so that makes us believe that the Dayanim have a negiut to come out looking good. And when the negiut, when they have a negiut to come out looking good, then we don't trust what they're doing. And so because of that, it shouldn't even have been written, because it's too suspicious. The two guys that knew, it looks like they were being servant on him, and they thought they didn't need to all sign and know that they could be in a bezdin, and only two of the three would be okay, and that's not true. So in order to avoid that kind of covering your rear end, and well, it was okay the whole time, I just signed. So because of that, that's really what the Gemara is concerned about over here. Now, Lamaisa, we learn out three exceedingly important halachas from here. Shema mina tlat. First of all, Shema mina edna sed dayan. What we see is that the two people that know about the signature can get up, be made in front of the third guy, then sit down again and sign the contract.
As the Beit Din.
So that means that even somebody who testified in front of the Beit, forget about it, he knew about it. He actually testified. So a testifying witness can then join the Beit Din and sign as a member of the court. So that's issue number one that we see from here. Furthermore, Vishmamina, Dayanima Makirim Chatimot Yidei Edim, Einan Tzichin La'id Bifnehem. You see another fascinating thing. You see that once the Dayanim know, they don't need to have heard it as witnesses say. Because you might have thought that, look, the fact is, as we've said many times, knowing something does not allow you to paskin halacha. Right? In other words, the same issue. You saw the new moon. You know that the new moon was seen. Doesn't help. You can't, as a bezdin, because you saw it at night. So at the time, you can't act on it. The next morning, it's only information. But you need to see the new moon to paskin in a bezdin. And you don't see it unless somebody is made on it and then recreates the seeing of the new moon. So you might have thought, said Tosfos, that we should make a general gezeira. Maybe information will come to the Dayan at night, so that it then becomes only information, not a dut, and then he's going to be posketing on something that he knows rather than something that he's seen in the court. Kamash v'lan that we don't make such a gezeira. Okay. So you don't have to actually be made if you know. Vishmamin, on the third thing that we know is from here, the Dayanim she'en makirin chatimot yedei edim tzrichim la'id bifnei kol echad, that it is not sufficient to have two people of a court know something, the third one is not going to be able to sign. So even though you have basically the equivalent of witnesses, these two guys are witnesses, certainly spoke to themselves, so to speak. So what do they have to speak to the third guy for? You see over here that they do have to speak to the third guy. So you can't have two people here, the witnesses, and then come back into the court. It needs to be that all of them know. Maskevah Ravashi, Rav Ashi says, I'm sorry, but your conclusions are not justified. Bishlema Eidna said Dayan. Okay, there's no way out of the fact that the two people that are testifying, are now sitting back down in the court and signing. I can't deny that. That's clear. But the other two conclusions that you reached, each one of them, is the reason that the other one is wrong. Because let me show you something here. You're claiming that Dayanim HaMakirim Chatimot Yidei Edim Ein Tzurchim La'id Bifneihem. How do you know? This case required testimony, didn't it? For the third guy who didn't know. But once there's testimony there, maybe that's sufficient for everybody. That's the point. You see, if there hadn't been testimony at all, so then you could reach that conclusion. Ain't Tzurchim La'id. But over here, maybe we're relying on the testimony that did take place in this court. So therefore, Dilma Liyolam Eimelech HaTzurchim, maybe you do need to testify. V'shani Yachad HaMekayimei HaGodah V'chad. There was a testimony for this guy. And furthermore, the other thing that you concluded is also possibly not true. Because you're saying Dayanim she'in makirim chatimot yidei edim tzuchim la'bifnei kol echad v'yachad. No! Maybe the reason is exactly what I just said. Dilma liyolam eim alacha ein tzuchim. But Shani, each thing shows the other one might be wrong. Maybe the reason that we had to be made to the third guy was because there was no testimony in this court. So already, so we said, okay, so do it to the third guy. Once we did it to the third guy, so we already had testimony in the court, that's okay. But if you wouldn't have had that need, so then maybe, you know, maybe it wouldn't have been good. Or maybe you don't need that there should be all three of them. Maybe two of them can hear testimony and then report to the other guy, look, we were good witnesses, let's sign. So therefore, both the two last points are not really substantially proved from here. Very interesting, huh? Sharp. Nice. Yosef Rebaba, the Karmel Alash Mites of Eid Nasadayim, Rebaba was sitting down and was saying over the Diyuk from here that an Eid is Nasadayim. And Rav Safra asked Rebaba from the famous case of the Besdin of Kiddush HaChodesh. It says over there, Ra'u Shlosha Vein Beiti. Now, again, given the information that we have now about Eid Nasadayim, three people see the new moon. It's dark, so they can't paskin the halacha because you're not allowed to paskin at night. Okay, the next morning, what should happen if an eid is nasadayan? Two of the witnesses should get up, be made in front of the third guy, and then they can become dayanim and sit down. Now we have three witnesses.
But
that's not what we do. It says over there. They get up, the Yoshiva Mechavreim, they have to get two other people to sit down in the Besdin, and then they're made in front of all of them, and then the new Besdin says, Mekudash HaKodesh, Mekudash, She'ein HaYachid Ne'eman, HaYidei Atzmo. Now, Yitzhak HaTayach, Eid Nasa Dayan, I understand. You just said that an Eid can be a Dayan, so Lama Likul Le'ayim, what do we need this big tumult over here to get the other two people in? Leish V'biduch Tayach V'lik Tashar. Let them, after they got up, they're made, so now they'll sit down and let them do the Kiddush HaChodesh. I don't understand what the problem is. Marley, so again, there's two different issues over here, not to be confused. In other words, Eid Nasadayan, the truth is that Eid Nasadayan exists on many planes as a problem. For instance, Ein Eid Nasadayan in Dinei Nefashot, okay? Why? There it has nothing to do with being an active testifying aid. In aid nasa dayan means if the dayan actually saw the event, he cannot be the dayan. That's for a completely different reason. That's because the Torah says, v'itzilu ha'ida, that there has to be some grounds that you could possibly determine that the guy is innocent. If you saw it yourself, you're not going to determine that the guy is innocent. Therefore, you're immediately puzzled as a dying. And that's also a nasadot. It means a completely different thing. Here we're talking about a testifying witness. There it means someone who witnessed the event. Not that he's testifying in court. So let's not confuse those issues. Furthermore. What?
He saw the event. He's the one who testified in court. What? The fellow who saw the event, when he goes to court, he will testify what he saw. So,
only if he's driving a red sports car. What does this have to do with what we're talking about?
he's the aid.
Clarifying. Now, also, this should not be confused with the fact that you don't paskin on the basis of what you know. That's not what Ein Eid Nasadayan. That was the fact that you witnessed something but could not paskin at the time. That's not called Ein Eid Nasadayan. That's even less than that. Because over there, it's Yediyah B'Alma, not a thing that you saw that could allow you to paskin. So that's if you see it at a time that you could not paskin the din, then you're always going to be coming back to what you remember of an event. Your memory of an event is not usable information in court. Okay? There needs to be an edus in court. So that's bechlal, a different issue. So the fact that two of the guys have to stand up, that's not because of Ein Eid Nasadayan. A lot of people get confused by this. That's not because of Einei Nanz. That's because they saw it at night. So even though the Gemara says, Salo lo tehei shmiya godol miriya, but that's not true, because at the time that you saw it at night, you couldn't bask in it. Right? Okay. But then we have this other issue. So over here, indeed, Eid would be Nasadai, and it should be, is what you just said. And he answers, and he says, look, I had this problem myself, I gotta tell you. This was driving me crazy also. I went and asked Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, and he went and asked Rav Huna, who didn't know. Rav Huna went and he asked Chiya Bar Rav, who didn't know. And Chiya Bar Rav was also bothered by it. And he asked Rav. And Rav said, Hanach leidut ha-chodesh diyoraita, v'kiyam shtara d'rabbona. Ein achinami. When it comes to diyoraita, then ein eid nasadaya. That's true. But over here, since kiyam shtarot is only d'rabbonan, it's not really a problem. All right, so what is the logic then for saying that ein eid nasadaya in a case where it's a diyoraita? There's a number of different pshat. Tosis brings an interesting pshat. That you need eidus shata yachol hazima, and if you're the dayan, you're never going to be masim. It's a very interesting. He's docha that. It has nothing to do with the person whether he is going to, and it has to be capable of being muzam. But he thought it was an interesting thing to quote anyway. But the logic, the pashtus, is that the Torah actually gives different roles, because it says basically ve'amdu shnei anashim being the eidim lifnei Hashem, who are the dayanim. So that means that there's a diaraisa, separation of roles here, so that it can't be that the same person is the dayanim and is also the elokim and is also the eidim, the anashim. You're either the Elohim or you're the Anashim. So when it comes to diyoraita, you say we have Gzeiras HaKosev, that's what a court consists of. But when it comes to the Rambanan, we allow this for Kiyum Shtarot. It's not a problem. Okay, I think we'll cut it.